at Matthew chapter 4. We're going to hit part 2 tonight. I have a feeling we'll end up with finishing it up next week. I will shut down at 8 o'clock no matter what tonight. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 18. We'll read through the end of the chapter, verse 25. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets. Notice in verse 18 it said net. In verse 20 it says nets. And followed him. And going out from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. They came, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic. Those that had palsy. Brother Scott, you're going to pay for that one. And he healed them. There followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem, from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And I want to continue. It's interesting what I started last week. Here in Matthew 4, Jesus is gathering a group of men to work with him in the ministry. For lack of better terminology, he was hiring his assistant pastors. He was hiring his staff. Is it not Jesus that said, Upon this rock I will build my church? Who were the church workers? It was the disciples. Now I want you to notice something. Here it says, Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. As I said last week, that's not talking about the casual, hey fellas, let's go on a fishing trip. Brother Mike and I and a few men went out saltwater fishing here a couple few years ago. We're going to do that again. Went a couple few years ago. We went out for one day. We went fishing, caught a bunch of fish, had a good time, and all that kind of stuff. That's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus wasn't saying, follow me and I'm going to take you fishing, fellas. Teach you something about fishing. He said, no, I want you to leave your career of fishing for fish, follow me, and we'll have a career of reaching people, and I'll teach you how to fish for men. I want you to leave your career and change careers. Now, folks, that's a big step. If I walked up to Sam and say, Sam, quit driving your truck, just follow me, and you're going to live by faith. Jeannie would slap you. And she should. No, she already did. But we're talking, these were commercial fishermen. These weren't you get a line, I'll get a pole of honey kind of fishermen. This was the real deal. And he makes a statement, says, if you'll follow me, as you know how to fish for fish, I'll teach you how to catch people for God, and I'll teach you how to fish for men. Now, let me say this. We have the benefit of seeing the whole story. These men had no idea what was coming. Imagine just quitting your business to go follow somebody. Not knowing where your next paycheck's going to be. And then find two of your other competitors, James and John. And now you and your competitors are working together. It wasn't always friendly. You know, you all have friends in the same business, but it's still competition. James and John, and I want you to know something. Peter and Andrew were fishing with a net. But it says they left their nets. They left the whole thing. James and John left the ship. They walked away from the boat. So they were changing careers. They lost their 401. They lost their retirement. They lost their all their benefits, Medicaid, Medicare, and everything else, and they went to Jesuscade. They went to Godcare. I'm sure they had family members that thought they were crazy. I'm positive of it. These were good, wholesome, hardworking, spiritual men. They didn't just go on a whim. They didn't say, "I feel led." They knew the scriptures well enough to know Jesus was who he said he was. They understood that he was the Messiah, even though they didn't understand how they were going to pay their bills. They were not doing something foolish. They weren't jumping out in some spooky spiritual world. They just decided they'd obey God. Jesus did teach them to fish for men. Jesus did use them, and they turned the world upside down. Now, I want to show you some principles about fishing for men or becoming a fisher of men. I gave you the first two last week. Let me review. Number one, you cannot catch one if you don't go. If you don't try to reach anybody, you will succeed. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it. You cannot win anybody if you do not go. Point number two, you don't know what you'll catch or what will become of what you catch. They weren't fishing with lines. They were fishing with nets. When you throw a net out, it's indiscriminate. It gets it all. Red, yellow, black, white, big, small, it catches everything. Catches crabs, turtles, and anything else. Catches sticks, catches boots, catches whatever. It's indiscriminate. Whatever gets in its way, it will pick up. In other words, it's not our job to decide who gets the gospel and who does not. It's not for us to decide through surveys, well, we'll ask these questions and then we'll go back and these are the most likely to receive the gospel. That's somebody playing God. I'm for getting through as much of it as you can get through. Okay, number three, new territory. Are you ready? Number three, be aggressive, but be ethical. Be aggressive, but be ethical. Folks, I really believe knocking on doors is one of the ways we all are supposed to present the gospel. God said from house to house. I really believe God meant from house to house. Now, if you just walk in everybody's house unannounced, it's going to end up bad one of these days. That means you must knock at their door. There's some propriety about knocking at somebody's door. Please don't, I am not the best illustration of this, I'm sure, but for 40 plus years, I have been soul winning. I mean, over 40 years, I've been doing it. In 40 years of doing it, I'll promise you, I have knocked well over 1 million doors. And that is no lie. And probably multiple millions, but I can guarantee 1 million at least. I've learned a few things. Don't you think in 1 million doors, I've made some mistakes? I know I have. I remember the first person I won to Christ standing at a door. My dad would know where this house is. But we were on 16th Street, near 16th Street, right across the street from my grandmother's house. Soul winning one Thursday night or Tuesday night for the teenagers. There was an old lady who lived in a little white house, catty corner across the street from my grandma's house. I was about 13 years old, peg-legging around out there. Knocked on door, told her who we were, where we were from. And I had knocked on so many doors, I got to a certain point every time. My name's Craig Bush. I'm from Central Baptist Church, and we're going through the neighborhood. You all get to go to church anywhere? No. Oh, well, we talk for a second, and I'd say, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven when you die? And people would say no, and I'd say, would you like to know for sure? No, see you later. That's as far as I ever got. This old lady, I got to that point. She said, I don't know. I said, wouldn't you like to know? She said, I sure would. I said, you would? That's the first thing I said. She said, well, yeah. I said, you're sure? She said, yeah. I didn't know what to say from there. I fumbled and stumbled and bumbled my way through. That precious old lady bowed her head and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Never forget it. God lit something in my soul that day. It still gets lit every time. As a rule of thumb for me, here's what I do as I knock on people's doors. Listen to this. Treat people and their property the way you want somebody to treat your door and your property. When I knock on someone else's door, I picture somebody knocking on my house door and my wife being there without me being there. How would I want somebody to behave at my door? Do you know if you do that, you sure do cut down on a lot of negativity. If somebody were to knock on Ruth Ann's door when Josh is not home, how would I want somebody to treat her? That's exactly how I knock on people's doors. Anybody that's been out soul winning with me, you'll see some of the things I'll tell you tonight about this. If I'm out knocking on doors, I don't crowd the door. I'll step up on the first step, ring the doorbell, and I step back off the porch onto the first step with 1 foot on the top, 1 foot on the step. Say, why is that? That is a non-aggressive position. I got cured of knocking on the door first if there's a doorbell. I was in Charleston, South Carolina. I banged on a door. This guy come to the door all disheveled looking. He said, I work midnights. He said, there's a doorbell on that thing. And wham, slammed the door in my face. I was with feller. He said, what you going to do? I said, ding dong. I pushed the doorbell. Guy came back to the door. I said, can we have a do-over? I said, sir, you're right. I'm from the church. I said, and I handed him a gospel tract. I said, you're right. You've taught me something. And I did not treat you appropriately. Now, the man didn't get saved, but by the way, that time, I remember about a year or two later, we went back and I said, make sure you ring that doorbell. And I rang the doorbell and I got to win that man to Christ about a year, year and a half later. Say why? Because I listened to him. If there's a doorbell, most people would prefer you ring their doorbell. Secondly, if there's a storm door, you can do what you want. I never open it to knock on the inside door. If that door is closed, there's a reason. And if perchance somebody's just on the other side, and I know people open that storm door, bang on the door, and they hold the storm door open, I would tell my wife, don't open the door. Just so you know. Say why? Because somebody's wanting to get pretty aggressive here. I've hollered through storm doors. I've hollered through wooden doors. You name it. I'll do the hollering, but I'm not going to stand there and hold their door open for them. You can do what you want. I'm just telling you how I would want somebody to treat my family. You see, then I never argue with people. Never. I give them the truth and let them make a decision. I will not stand at somebody's door and argue with them whether they're right or wrong. Not going to do it. I am not there to debate doctrine. I'm not there to debate belief. I'm there to present the gospel. If they want to debate, they can wait till the millennium and see what Jesus says. I don't have time to debate. I'm not going to stand and argue with a Jehovah's false witness or a moron or a Mormon or anybody else. I'm not going to. I've met preachers at doors. I've met preachers' wives. I've led them both to the Lord. I've led pastors of other churches to the Lord. I've led their wives to Christ. I've led their children to Christ. We had recently had a visitor here that was from another Baptist church in the area, and during invitation, they got saved. They go to a Baptist church. Say, why? Because just because the name on the church says Baptist doesn't mean they're getting good doctrine. Everybody doing okay? In other words, I'm not here to debate anybody's beliefs. I'm not going to stand there and argue with them. You're not going to change them, and I don't believe they're going to change you. Why argue? There's somebody down the street that God wants to get the gospel to, but you're too busy trying to prove you're right and they're wrong. My Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. I'm not going to stand there and debate the Bible with a fool. Then, I don't try to point out people's wrong. I just try to show them what salvation says. I don't say, well, you're Church of Christ. That means you believe that you got to get baptized to get to heaven. The Bible says, I don't care what church they go to. There's only one way to get to heaven. Doesn't matter what their denomination is. Boy, I know churches that will have a series of lessons. How to reach Church of Christ. How to reach Church of God. How to reach Catholics. How to reach, say, how do you reach them, preacher? Give them the gospel. I don't change it for anybody. The gospel didn't change for anybody. Well, you got to know what they believe. No, they need to know what God said. Doesn't matter what they believe. It matters what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. As an adult, if I approach and there's children either out playing or they answer the door, I'll say, is your mom or dad home that I could speak to them, please? We live in a kooky world. Especially if you're a man, you walk up to a group of kids and start talking to them and there's not an adult present, you better be careful. They're going to come with the bubblegum machine on top of a car here real soon and question you. You say, well, I don't have bad intentions. Nobody else knows that. Think of two men walking up to a group with your kids in it. What are you going to think? We live in that kind of world. It just is what it is. So I'm cautious, even if a teenager answers. Brother Josh and I were out a few weeks ago, and a teenage young lady came to the door. I'm guessing she was probably 15 or 16. She wasn't, you know, junior high, but she wasn't a senior yet in high school. And I said, is either of your folks home? She said, not yet. They're on their way home from work. I immediately took a half step back. And I said, I'm not here to take a bunch of your time. But I end up winning to Christ. Say, why? Because I didn't try to push my way. Everybody doing okay? By the way, men, if you'll treat ladies the way you'd want somebody to treat your wife, you might get a little farther. Instead of looking at every woman like she's some evil, wicked, vile, pervert, street-walking woman, and realize, hey, that's a decent person. Not everybody in this world believes like you do, but women aren't any worse than any man. They're not all evil creatures. Treat them the way you'd want somebody to treat your wife. I promise you, that's how I treat people. So be aggressive with the gospel, but be ethical. Don't push anybody. I don't push anybody to do anything. If they say shut it down, I try to shut it down. I've got to hurry. Number four. So number three was be aggressive but ethical. Number four, I love this. You need to work to win their soul so you can present the gospel. You need to learn to win their soul to present the gospel. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. Boy, I'm going to teach you something tonight that is desperate in fundamental Baptist churches today. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, quick review, help me with it, speak out loud for me. Man is made up of three things. He has a body, he has a
soul,
and he has a
spirit.
Now, a lost person only has a
body
and a
soul.
Our body is what houses everything. That's this wonderful physique you see in front of you. Careful now. You hurt my feelings. But my soul is my personality. My soul is my ability to communicate with my fellow human beings. All right? So your body is what houses everything. Your soul is that which communicates with each other. Your spirit is what communicates with God. Now watch this. A lost person is a body and a soul. They do this. They have none of this. A Christian is this and this, going both directions. When we say we're going soul winning, you think that means winning somebody to Christ. Soul winning means this: you're going there in an effort to win them with your personality long enough to get the gospel to them. That's what soul winning really is. That's why the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. A wise person knows how to get along with the people down in county. He doesn't always think that he's going to, but he learns how to. He wants to do other things to them, but he learns how to get along with them in an effort to win them. Does that make sense to everybody? It's that obstinate neighbor that you've got to try to win their soul. That cranky old lady that's in the nursing home that, I never met a more bitter person in my life than Mrs. Hand. Crankiest old coot you ever saw in your life. First time I met her, guy with me was, he said, go down there and grab Miss Hand, take her to the meeting. I said, sure. I go down and grab hold of her wheelchair. Who are you? I told her. So we're going to go. I don't want to go. I said, oh, come on. You're going to go. I had a glass of water here. All the nurses go, we knew that was going to happen. I tried being nice to this lady. She cussed you out. I mean, in a heartbeat. My son Jeff was just born. I mean, just weeks old. Took him to the nursing home. He was the hit of the show. Showed him to Miss Han. Get that nasty thing out of here. I'm not kidding. She was as mean as a snake. I finally had it up to here one day with her. I stood in the hallway. I said, lady, you're going to bust hell wide open and the devil's going to kick you out. I said, you are as mean and as nasty. And I said, you're going to listen to me. And she grumbled and grumbled and grumbled. But I finally got her attention. By the way, I finally found somebody that she related to. And they did get the gospel to her. But boy, she was mean as a snake. Now, not many people in the world like that, but she was one of them. Learn to win their soul, not tick them off all the time. In fishing, you attract fish with what? Bait. Your personality has to be the bait. That means you need the Holy Spirit to work through you so that you can reach the fish that you're fishing for. I talk to a huge array of people in my life. In other words, you need to get people to like or want you in a way, what want what you have, so that they'll listen to the gospel. Am I doing okay? Here we go. Some people say winning family members and friends is the hardest thing in the world. Can I tell you why? Because you're the one that's afraid, not them. Your credibility ought to be that you should be able to present the gospel to them. You just have to overcome your fear of it. Most of the time, it's not because of them. Please don't take this the wrong way. I've been able to win family members of people to the Lord in this room and in our church. And I realize sometimes they just push off. I get that. But sometimes it's because we didn't take the initiative to push ourselves. You loved them enough to send me. Maybe that's why they listened. Everybody doing okay? We should have the rapport to be able to talk to family and friends. Now, winning their soul means you win their personality first. In other words, as I'm walking up to the door, I'm looking around. You can tell if they like flowers and gardening. You can tell if they have certain kind of car. I'm looking around if they got deer targets and archery targets and deer heads hanging and body parts everywhere. I know what I'm dealing with. Amen? Right, Brother Larry? Just know exactly what it is. They got motorcycles out. Know what I'm dealing with. They got motocross bikes. I know what we're dealing with. If they've got 14,276 bicycles out there, we know we got a lot of kids coming. I can walk up, try to assess the situation. They open the door, and you got this huge cabinet of precious moments or Hummels or something like that. I know what to deal with, and I know how to relate to that. Say, why? Because I've talked to so many people. You've got to find that little bit of common ground. I'll ask them if they're from this area. Very few people are from this area that are in this area. And there's very few places I haven't been near where they're from. I've traveled a lot. Therefore, I have an ability to communicate at a level. Oh, yeah, I've been there. Do you remember such a? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we talk for a minute. I don't spend a half hour talking to them, just a couple minutes. Then I start talking about the church. The church, this property, this church building, this group of church people, this program of church, I begin telling them about our church. They get interested, and I invite them, and then I say, can I ask you a question before I leave? Sure. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, we've talked nicely. We've had a good conversation. We've enjoyed each other's presence and personalities for a few moments, and they'll generally answer me. Sometimes I can tell they're uncomfortable in knowing how to answer. Well, yeah, I hope so. Well, yeah, I know that. I'll say, okay, how do you know that? Well, I just know it. And I'll say, I believe you can know that. God told us we could. I said, let me ask you the same question differently. If he died and stood before God, and God says, why should I let you in? What would you tell him? Oh. No, because I'm trying to did my best. And I'll reach in my pocket. I'll pull out my New Testament, and I'll go to 1 John 5:13. These things I have written unto you that believe under the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'll say, that doesn't say hope so, does it? No. Doesn't say maybe so, does it? Nope. Okay. That means there's got to be a way for us to know that for sure. God's a liar, and God's not a liar. I'll go to Romans 3:10, 3:23, Romans 6:23, Revelation 20:14 and 15, back to Romans 6:23, and then on to Romans 10:9 through 13. Well, I'll make a statement here in a moment. Can I tell you something? It's not real hard. You just got to relate to them just long enough to get them the gospel. Promoting our church and doing it, we're a hospital, not a museum. Boy, does that promote well. Our service times, our nursery, our children's classes, junior church, teen program, visitors every week. The practical preaching that you can use and how it's changed your life and all those things. Great door personality. You've won their soul. Now hit them with the gospel gun. You've used that bait. You've drawn them in. Now pull the trigger. Drop the net. Pull the net. Number 5, I've got to hurry. Witnessing requires you to quit looking at your own problems and look to help the needs of others. One of the best things you can do to get out of depression and despair is go soul winning. One of the best things you can do to get rid of some of the pressure of problems that you face, leave your pressure and problem behind and go knock on some doors and tell others how to get out of hell. I'll promise you one thing. I don't care how bad your problem is. You'll feel better if you've gone out and gone witnessing. I'll guarantee it. If you go to the Hi, I'm from Grace Baptist Church. You get to go to church somewhere. Now, folks, it ain't going to happen that way. You're going to last about that long before the door goes, I don't want anybody from that church coming to my house. And if that's what they're like, I don't want to go there. In other words, you have to put those feelings aside. And you have to go to the door, whether you feel like it or not, and put a smile on your face. You say, well, that's That's fake. My Bible says put on the new man. Put off the old man, put on the new man. You know what the word put on means? It means to dress in costume. Yeah, fake it till you make it. Sometimes you got to tell yourself you're happy whether you are or not. Sometimes you just got to look happy whether you're not, which is most of the time for most people. Now, I don't ever trust anybody that's always smiling, especially if you got to buy a car from them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, my dad told me if somebody's always smiling, something's wrong. Don't trust them. But if you go to the door depressed and burdened with your own problems, why would anybody want to listen? You go to the door and start crying about all your problems to them. You think you're going to get the gospel out to them? I got this problem. I don't have this bill paid. I got to do this. And I got bunions and I got corns and I got... Good Lord. Who's going to want to listen to the gospel? You sat on their stood on their porch or rolled up on their porch or flopped down on the chair and told them all your problems and you want to tell them how to go to heaven as depressed as you are? I wouldn't want it. I don't think we ought to approach soul winning in a flippant or giggly kind of manner. I think we ought to kind of behave ourselves between visits. I think we ought to... I've been door to door and I've laughed and cut up and told jokes between doors, but I'm out on somebody's porch, you know. It's not the way to do it. Say, if you're a big clown, they're not wanting a circus. They need their life changed. If we yield to the Holy Spirit before each knock and each door we knock, then He can speak through us. I know people that are real good saying, Holy Spirit, I yield to myself to you as I go out soul winning. It's the last time they think of the Holy Spirit till the next time they go. Every time I go to knock on a door, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, help me. As I push that doorbell, Holy Spirit, help me. Say, why? I need Him then. I don't know what's coming. I remember one time I was soul winning. I'm not kidding. Cross my heart and hope Brother Josh dies. I rang the doorbell. They didn't, and the door was open, and you could hear people scurrying around, and I heard the doorbell, but nobody was answering. So I, on the door frame of the screen door, still nobody heard anything, but I saw somebody coming at me. Well, it was dark outside, and it was light inside, and they didn't see anybody at the door. And it was a good thing I had taken that step back. Because all of a sudden, this person come charging right at the door. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. They're going to tackle me. They opened up that door, and I said, why, hello? And they went, ah, and screamed. They didn't see or hear anything. I said, hold it. I'm from the church. Man, scared them half to death. Well, found out they had just had, the ambulance had just left before I got there, and they were rushing somebody to the hospital. And I said, well, may I pray for you? They said, you would do that? I said, do you have time? We have time. I prayed for them. They stood around. They began to cry, tell the story. And I said, well, let me help you. Opened up my Bible and won all three of them to Christ right there. Went to the hospital. Their loved one was going to be okay. Won that loved one to the hospital. Got four saved out of the person I almost scared to... Hades. You just never know what's going to happen, but you got to be ready. When you put your problems aside, soul winning's about Him and not about you. Too many times we get discouraged. Well, I go and I go and I go and I don't see any results. Nobody said you were going to see results. They that sow in tears reap in joy. Did you know you don't sow and reap on the same day? The seed you plant may not be the seed you planted. You might be reaping for what somebody else did weeks, months, or years ago. But you might be throwing seed out while you're going. so that someday it'll plant in somebody's heart and life and they'll get saved. Everybody doing all right? Soul winning is not about you, it's about him. And when you get your eyes off your problems and start doing something for God, that's what Galatians 6:2 is about. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Put your burden aside, take on somebody else's, and watch what happens. Let me say this and I'll quit. Witnessing is not about me, it's about me getting the gospel out. It's not about me getting the desired results I want. It's not even about God getting the desired results he wants. It's about us getting the gospel out. Guess what? I can't tell you how many times when I've put my problem aside and helped person after person after person after person after person after person after person, help them with their problems, I go back to pick up my problem and I say, it's not as heavy as it was. Maybe I've got some answers that I didn't have before. And in carrying other people's burdens, I got strong enough to carry my burden. In some cases, I found the answer to my burden by carrying somebody else's. But at least I gained strength enough to carry mine that I had set aside while I carried others. You get stronger by carrying burdens than you do by no burden. Sit in a chair your whole life, you get weak. Get up and move, you get stronger. Makes sense, does it not? Watch this. Spiritually, some people sit in their chair three times a week and listen to the preacher, but they do nothing with it, and they wonder why they're weak spiritually. You've got to carry the burdens to do so. And I've got to quit there. It is time. Fishing for men. Oh, it's not as hard as we make it out to be, I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed.